Blog Talk Radio.
Out of Evans, Georgia. Glad we could host the show again on this wonderful Monday night. We had an exciting contest this past weekend. We're going to call out for a few other teams to call in. We've got an exciting show. We competed in the Sam's Rachel up in Hendersonville, Tennessee. We did fare so well. We ended up 13th overall, fourth place in brisket, ninth in pork. So we gave it a shot. We finished 13th. I want to congratulate QLG for having three calls, Pack of Smoke for having three calls, but unfortunate like us, they didn't make it in. We do have a special guest, one deaf and maybe both of them. We're going to feature Warren County Pork Choppers tonight on the radio show. They got Reserve Grand up there in Hendersonville, Tennessee. And I believe they just took Reserve Grand in Decatur also. So they've really been hitting their stride right now and comes at the perfect time. Congratulations to Donnie Bray and his whole gang. We've also got Barbecue has got to try to call in tonight. He did take Grand at Warren County Pork Choppers, so with Warren County. So we're going to hopefully have him call in. We've also got the other list of competitors who competed who are moving on to the Sam's National. Everglades Seasoning made it. Swig and Pig was fourth. Good Buddy's Barbecue was fifth. Q and Stew and Brewing, who does the Southern Q Smokers for me, he was sixth. Wooly Bully Barbecue Mafia out of Florida, they were seventh. Damon Wooly, a good showing. Swamp Boys, Rub Bagby, had a good showing. He was eighth. Smoking Buck Crew was ninth, and LJ Smoking was tenth. So congratulations to all 10 of those teams for moving on to the next round of the Sam's Club, going for that $150,000 out of Bentonville, Arkansas, and I believe it's in 2 weeks. So 3 weeks, actually, so congratulations to all them. We've got one more regional to go to. This contest was pretty unique because it was probably one of the highest-scoring regionals they ever had. Had more top teams in the national barbecue rankings than I think any other regional, but you know, we scored a 687 and we were 13th. There was only 7 points that separated first to 10th, and I think there was only 10 points, maybe 11 points separated first from 15th. So it was very, very, very tight scoring. A lot of really good teams up there, and you know, it was a wonderful event up there in Sam's Club. I think it was probably the trips were probably about the flat tire of the world up there. We had a flat tire. Several of the teams had flat tires going up or coming back, and unfortunate for a lot of them. But, you know, it all has to do with adversity. It's what you go through to do these contests, other people, you know, helping out and everything. So, but anyway, it was all in all, it was a great contest. We also had another contest up in Salisbury, North Carolina. A lot of my good friends were competing in that. Two of them in a grill. Tuffy from Cool Smoke took Reserve Grand, actually. A good friend of mine, Charles Farewell from BS Pitmeisters. He took Grand Champion up there. Good to see him doing well. He's out of Boiling Springs, South Carolina. We've also got Midnight Burn had a good showing. Two of them in a grill, like I said. Whalen's Weekly Good Q, I think, finished 15th. And to all the other teams that got good calls up there, congratulations. That was a really, really tough contest. I think there was 60-something teams. So, you know, I know that was a very tough contest, so congratulations to them. We've also got a really unique show coming up next Monday, but we're going to go into this weekend's contest. The big one around here is the one Jim Stencil from Bare Knuckle Barbecue is helping to put on, helping promote. And he's welcome on my show anytime. He's a good friend of mine. The Smoking Thunder up in Rome, Georgia. There's going to probably be between 50 and 70 competitors up there. Folks, this is the first one of its kind. They've got a big air show up there on Saturday. Big barbecue contest, good prize money. If you don't have anything to do this weekend, take a run on down there and check it out. It's going to be one hell of an event. I'm really looking forward to it. My trailer, I left in Kennesaw on the way back in, so I wouldn't have such a long pull to get to the event. Several of my friends are going to be there, Bubba Q, Q and Stew and Brewing, Georgia Boys, Jeff from Wicked Q, I think Holy Smokes will probably be there. You know, we've got Tim Thomas from TNT Smokers, Chad Renfro from Uncle Chet, Danny Kugel from Pit Bulls, and I think Southport's going to be there. Several really good teams are going to be there. I believe Blue Bloods and Two Old Men and a Grill and Smokehouse Mafia is going to make it, I believe. So Rocky Top might be there. You know, Warren County Pork Choppers might be there. You know, it's going to be one really, really good event up there. So looking forward to seeing a lot of my friends I hadn't seen in a couple months. So hopefully we can have a good time, have a good dinner on Thursday night, Friday night, and, you know, get down to competition on Saturday. So we're looking for a really fun event up there. It's going to be a beautiful weekend. I'd love any place in the country I'd rather be than up there this weekend with the weather we're fixing to have. So it's going to be a great, great contest. We've also, as far as the SBN side goes, we've got a contest in, I believe, Manning, South Carolina. It's a whole hog contest. They've got one down in Monk's Corner, South Carolina. It is the Best of Berkeley. Still looking for a few teams down there from what I hear. That's an SBN event. And if you get a chance, if you don't want to do these big high-dollar events, go down there and try the SBN. They've got good quality events, a little bit cheaper, and it's good for the beginners, and it's good for the seasoned pro. They feature all of them. You won't go up against, 15, 20 really good pros. You go up against a good assortment of teams. And it's coming up. You give it a couple of years, this event's going to really take off. It's most of them are wonderful sites, and you just can't replace that. They really take care of the cookers and everything at these contests. On the South Carolina Barbecue Association news, a shocker in Columbia. Actually, a good friend of mine, Bull Gene, he's been cooking in a couple of FBAs. Just started out this year cooking a couple of FBAs, a few KCBS, and one or two SBNs or whatever, but he actually took grand championship in Columbia, South Carolina, over there by the stadium. He competed against 15 or 20 other teams, and I think four or five of the top South Carolina teams in the state were there, and old Gene pulled one out of his hat this weekend, so hopefully he'll call in and talk about his first grand ever, and I know he was on cloud nine, so he had a really good showing there, and I'm glad he had a really good showing. So anyway, but as I said, when you go to these contests a little far away from home, you got a lot of trial and tribulation out there. Like I said, we had a flat tire, and Qology coming all the way from Charleston, South Carolina, to be up there. They actually had two flat tires, one on each side, not at the same time, so. Naturally, they made it through and got up there and everything, and hopefully they made it back safely. Ms. T's Barbecue had a flat tire. I think Damon from Wooly Bully was having issues with his tires, and it was just one of them roads or one of them times that it just hits you all of a sudden. And like I said, you got to be prepared for the worst. So anytime you go to these contests, make sure you're prepared for these unexpected problems that you have and everything. Like I said, you can't substitute being prepared. That's number one thing. So up there, and we'll get back to the contest schedule. Up in Tennessee, like I said, we had several Florida teams come up. I think five out of 10 teams were from Florida. So they had a really good showing up there in the KCBS event. And we had the likes of Chatham Artillery and Big Papa's Country Cooking and the Pit Crew and, I don't even know, Divine Swine. There were so many of them up there, I can't even think of who all was up there. But it was a really wonderful event, very well run. When you go to these Sam's Club competitions, if you're a minute late, you miss the first category on the calls and everything, on the awards. Troy really likes to get us out of there quick. If there's any possibility where he can have the judging a little early, the awards a little earlier, he's going to make it happen. He don't want to be there any longer than we are. So, my hat's off to him. So, but anyway, we'll be traveling up to Rome, Georgia this weekend. Like I said, it's 19,000 plus in prize money up there. It's at Russell Field. I think it's an airfield that is slightly used, or they still use or whatever, but it's going to be one really good event. I think Jim said they're supposed to have a semi-truck up there. It's got, like, showers in it. They've got excellent bathroom facilities. It's just going to be a world of good up there in Rome, Georgia. So we're planning on heading up there. Hopefully we'll see some of our teams from Alabama that we're friends of, and have a really wonderful time up there. So we are waiting for Donnie to call in, and hopefully he'll get online here shortly. If anybody else has got any events they want to plug in, I know Gary, we had Gary Blevins from Munchie Smokehouse last week on here. He was plugging a big FBA event down at Jessup, Georgia in a couple weeks. So if you're a big FBA cook, check into that. Or even if you're a KCBS cook, you know, it's the same categories, about the same flavor profiles. You just don't have to use garnish, which is what I like. And you have an iron between turn-in, so you don't have to worry about getting your garnish up and all that. You know, you got plenty of time to get your meat done. As far as turning times, it's a lot easier than KCBS. You don't have to fret about your garnish and all that. So get a chance, check out the FBA website and check out the contest coming up at Jessup, Georgia. They got a really good payout. So they're looking forward to having quite a few teams up here. We've got a caller on the line. 270-782. Is it Donnie?
Yeah.
Hey, Donnie, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How about you?
We hanging in there. You know how it is when you got a real job besides barbecuing, so.
Yeah, thank God I'm an electrical contractor.
Yeah. So how you feeling about your semi-victory this past weekend?
You know, I feel real good about it. That was a tough crew. Gosh, Almighty, I didn't. You know, I felt like if you got a game at all, that was the time to use it. And then everything still got to line up just right to get a call. So it was. I definitely, you know, being behind Bubba Q 0.2 of a point. You know, I wasn't. I never really thought of if what would have been if I'd had the other 2 points. I was just proud to get what I got.
Yeah, a lot of people will sit there and boil over that. But really, you know, once you turn in, it's out of your control, and it's up to the judging and everything. You know, as you know, if you barbecue as much as we do, you're going to lose categories by that, and you're going to win categories by that sooner or later. So, you know, hopefully it all even out.
Yeah, you can tell when things are sort of falling together, you know, and you can't really talk about it. You don't want to mess karma up, but it was sort of, things were pulling together for me, and usually some of the things I was struggling with was sort of, you know, coming into play. So I thought, well, hopefully, at least last year I missed going to Bentonville either by one or two spots, and I was thinking, if I could just pick up that, if a 10th place finish would have been like a grand to me.
Yeah, but like I said, that was probably one of the toughest fields in the regionals they've seen so far. You know, the scoring was just so high and so tight. It was just, I mean, I had a 687. I was in 13th place. The 687 would have won most contests last weekend.
Most of my grand champion's win was probably less than that 687.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, it just shows you the caliber of teams that were there. You know, I had several really good teams come out of Florida, a lot of big FBA teams. A lot of big FBA, even nationally ranked teams, didn't do that well as far as placing-wise up there. And, you know, Bubba, he could out, and I honestly believe, you know, what you had, 2 calls?
Yeah, I had a second and a third, and then my other 2 categories was 14th and 16th.
So, you know, it's kind of a surprise because, you know, Troy was the only one that knew who got what. You had Pack of Smoke had 2 first place, and I mean, one of them was a perfect 180. And they had 3 calls. Qology had 3 calls. You're thinking, you know, they're in like Flynn. And they started calling out these names, and Q-Stew and Bruin had 1 call, and he got like 5th or 6th. And he looked at me like, you're coming up, you're coming up. And, you know, I had 2 calls, and I didn't get called, but I think when you got called, it was kind of a shocker to some people. But when Bubba got called, that was really a shock. I think he was shocked.
Yeah, when he ran up there putting his hand over his mouth, sort of like a girl running, he forgot where it was.
He definitely got feminine side on that one. I got to give you that.
I thought Pack of Smokes had it too because of the 3 calls, but I think they had 1 category they finished last in, and, you know, the whole deal is keep them all up, you know, 1 category could kill you.
Yeah, my ribs killed me too. I was right below them in ribs.
I fought the whole year with chicken doing the same thing. It seems like I've had a successful year this year, and I've done it mostly without chicken cough. I had to just pack that the whole way. Myself and Jackie Price, Smoke on This, we worked back and forth sharing ideas for about 2 weeks with chicken. And since then, I've got chicken at least up to middle of the pack and did win chicken in Carrollton, Kentucky about 3 weeks ago. But you know, you focus on one category and you forget about the others. Next thing you know, it's sort of like keeping a beach ball up at a concert. If you don't hit it, it's going to go to the ground.
That's it. And that's what I guess a lot of teams, and we've all been known to do it. I haven't competed there as long as you have, but, you know, you got, like you said, you concentrate on one and another one's going to fall. And, you know, you got to kind of keep track of where you're at now, you know, the other three categories to pull this one up. And honestly, ribs and brisket have been my strong point. So I really worked on pork and chicken. And like you said, you worked with another team on your chicken. I, in turn, had a team that's going out to World Food Championship. And he's a South Carolina team. You know, they don't cook brisket. And the last four briskets he cooked, he said, tastes like crap. So he called me up. I was having trouble with my pork being inconsistent. And, you know, like I said, he needs help with brisket. So he came over to the house. I took him out to the shop. I had the briskets we were doing for our restaurant, and I also had my competition brisket there. I was trimming up and showed him how to do it, and I let him trim on one of the ones I was doing for the restaurant, and really, really helped him out. He cooked one this weekend. He had a competition in Columbia where they were just cooking pork, but he said he cooked the brisket right along with it, man. He said, my pork and brisket times were almost within 10 minutes of one another, and he said that was by far the best brisket I'd ever cooked. So he's feeling more confident about his brisket and cook another one this weekend. He's going to cook one every weekend up until the World Food Championship. But, you know, helping somebody out like that, you know, he was helping me out. We don't compete against each other that much, but, you know, we will down the road, you know, go up against each other once in a while. But, yeah, that's what it's all about. You know, if you got something that's really hitting and somebody needs something you got, hey, I'm all for it.
Well, I am too. You end up getting really close with some of your competitors, and don't hurt to work together to try that, especially if you're stumped yourself. But we just signed up for that World Food Challenge, the Decatur thing. I guess Bob and Steve with Jiggy Piggy, I got reserved there, and they got grand, and I think they couldn't go, so they emailed me. So I went ahead and signed up for it. I don't know how I'm going to get my pan wagon all the way to Vegas, but I'm going to get it there one way or another.
A lot of spare tires, buddy.
Yeah, I know it. That, I had never been there and really want to try. I was going to the Royal and signed up, and now with going to Benton and Bentonville and this Vegas, I've pulled out of the Royal. And, I'm going to try to do those two things.
Yeah, that's a little tough to do when you have to pull out of something like that to go to another one. That's, you know.
we was talking about brisket. I've been real pleased with my brisket, and I think I'm in a single digit in points maybe still. I don't know about because of last week I didn't get any points for the Sam's Club, but maybe ninth in points in brisket. And just really, really pleased with it. And it's amazing how you can just take a bite of somebody else's. Mo come down through there, and he had a whole pan of brisket, and I guess he was giving it to everybody. And I took a bite of his brisket, and I said, man, I can't believe that is the most, that's the best brisket I ever eat. And, you know, it was a comforting taste. It had a great texture, you know, and it worried me about my brisket. I mean, obviously, I do mine different than that, but I just thought that what I ate of his was just unreal good. And he finished like 27th out of 30 with brisket, and I finished third. You know, it makes you wonder, you know, you get, maybe the way I cook brisket ain't the way I like to eat it, but what Mo had was unbelievable, but it didn't score. Sometimes it's hard to understand.
Yeah, I was over in Bubba's trailer, and he brought his over, and Bubba said his is like you know, a rubber band. And I'm like, yeah, it's been sitting out for an hour and a half, you know, it's going to tighten up anyway. Mo has it, had his of it, and I did eat a piece, and it was a really, really good brisket. The only thing that I could figure out what could have been wrong with it was maybe the sauce was a little off on it. It just had a, you know, for the Southeast, in other words, you know, people say that you just cook the same, but there's still a difference in the meat, you know, no matter what. But his tenderness was, and it, like you said, it was moist, it was juicy, and had a good flavor, and had a good, you know, smoke ring on it. And I don't know, I guess he got on one of them tables that he just didn't like his flavor profile. And I try to make my beefy and Qology, I let them taste it. Well, it was good, but it was real beefy. And yeah, you got third in brisket, I got fourth in brisket. So, you know, I'm like, okay, that's what they want is beefy, you know. So, but, you know, who's to say your mind won't work up where Moses is, you know, cooking at? You know, yeah, you know, it's just a little bit different in flavor profile.
You know, I think that, you know, the judges are not to cut on them at all, but they, you know, they're sometimes their glass is half empty instead of half full. And sometimes, you know, this is just food. This isn't rocket science. So if you give them, you know, if you can give them a taste, if you're going to go out on a limb and put a flavor profile in it, it better be something that's outstanding, because they can just as easy say, hey, that you had, that was too much. I couldn't taste the meat. You know,
yeah.
So you can go either way. All they're looking for is something, you know, that they can pick up on, good or bad. So usually if you stay pretty simple, it seems to help, I think. It's just an opinion.
Well, I mean, I agree. You know, like you said, it's just food. I mean, if you cook it right, you get your tenderness right, hopefully your texture is going to be there. And then the flavor, you know, some places they, you know, like chicken, they might like it a little more spicy or whatever, but in my opinion, chicken, when you make a chicken sauce, you dip it in there, dunk it or squirt it on there, whatever you do, you know, I've made my spicy as hell, but it was spicy sauce was, but when you put it on the chicken, the spice was gone, you know, and it turned into a little bit different flavor on the chicken. So, you know, it's like, I guess the judges, if they're used to something going high and you go to the edge of that box, it's just outside that box. I think some judges get a little flustered and they say, well, this ain't what I'm looking for, and just score you down, you know. Or some judges might say, hey, this is a really good flavor, you know, this is going out on the edge a little bit. So, you know, it is what it is. I mean, you don't know what goes through their minds. There's six of them that can make or break you, so, you know, it's not any one. So to speak, but you have. I know you've had a few judges every now and then. You like, what the hell were you thinking, or which piece were you eating? But now this is your second reserve grand in a row, isn't it?
Yeah. We the Decatur was a reserve, and that was in a row. That was. It's been really good. We've been just bouncing around that grand pretty hard here the last couple of months. Just hadn't seemed to hook up, but you know, it's mostly been chicken that's helped us back off of that. I sort of like Barry Johnson. He don't, you know, chicken just, I don't like chicken, you know. fried chicken, I like fried chicken, but he says his motto is feed it to something that tastes better. That's what I think too. Feed the chicken to something that tastes better. But it's been a struggle for me, but I'm real proud of the way things has went. It just gets a little frustrating when you feel like you could do a little bit better, and that's why Jackie and I sort of put our heads together and worked on this chicken. And, you know, you get to working on meat so much, you can see the reaction that the meat's having to the product that you're putting into it and what it does to it, and tightening up the pores and opening up the pores, and when to put your rub on, when not to put your rub on. Every action has a reaction, and it seems like chicken's the one that just keeps jumping around. You think it'd be the simplest, but it's definitely not. It's something that it's just getting too frustrating. I don't know. I'm sort of one of the reasons why I really wanted to go out to the Vegas. They're not doing chicken. Maybe, maybe I got a shot because they're not doing chicken.
Yeah, you got a better chance out there, don't you?
Yeah, but I don't know sauce. So one of the, I think it's like pork and sauce on one day and ribs and brisket on the other. I think when sauce, I'm gonna strain some blues hog and send it in. I don't know. I don't make my own sauces. I wish I could steal one to take out there with me.
Hey, go ahead. Talk about that.
Oh, that's all right.
Well, you know, what I've heard too was that, that the chicken being your first category, you know, there's nothing on the judges' tongues yet. They hadn't been bombarded by flavors and stuff yet. I'm thinking, you know, with Mo having his sauce on his brisket, I don't know if that's the way he served it. I mean, it tastes like he had a little bit of a sauce on his brisket, which I've done that in the past and done very well in it. But, you know, I'm wondering, you know, there's no way you can cleanse their palate the whole way, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Their taste buds are going to get bombarded with all this. But I think chicken is the most critical one because that's the first thing they judge. And, you know, they're excited about getting started judging, you know. Their brainwaves or whatever go crazy. And they're thinking all sorts of different things on the first category, I believe.
I got a little brisket story from last year at Decatur. This year we got reserve and Jiggy Piggy got first, and last year we got reserve and Jiggy Piggy got first. That was really pretty wild. But I had a judge to cook with me. He had his 30 in and getting ready for his masters and has to cook with a team. And he called me, and we set it up for it to be Decatur. And when he gets there, he said, "Well, I need to do a job, and I want to do this right and do it the way the KCBS rules go." And I said, "Your job is to judge. When we do turn in, I want you to stay back, and I'm gonna give it to you, and you give me your thoughts." So he said, "That's simple enough." So we did. We did chicken, and he said, "That's all right. You know, I'd give it this or that." And we finished eighth. I let him taste the ribs. He said, "These are the most outstanding ribs that I believe I've ever had." And I said, "Truly, it's the best that I've done. It just sort of blew me away." And we filled the box full of bones. I mean, we had a bunch in there. And we got a 180. And when it come to pork, I had him to do it, and he said, "Man, this pork is great." And I don't know, we finished somewhere pretty good. When we come to brisket, I let him taste the brisket, and I guess this is sort of a tip, or it might change the way people think, or it might mess them up, but I let him taste it, and he said, "Man, this brisket is out of sight." I turned back around, and I was doing something. He said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm putting a sauce on it." I gave him another bite, and he said, "You just bombed in brisket. You killed yourself." And I said, "Really?" Now, that's a judge, Judge 30. And I just blew it off. I said, "He don't know what he's talking about." When it come down to it, there was, ever how many teams, there's always a bunch in Decatur, but let's say there's 80 or 90. I finished 53rd in brisket. He called it right there. And you know, that's something that changed my way of thinking about brisket. So that could be what happened to Mo. Could be in that. I mean, just using that as an example, I thought it was really good, but I don't mind a lot of flavor, but it's easy for a judge maybe to knock the flavor.
Yeah, that's, you know, like I said, not knock a Mo. I mean, it was a really, really well-cooked piece of meat. And like I said, I don't know if he put it on his turn-in box, whatever, but, you know, it was, I mean, you tasted it. It tastes like he had some type of light sauce on or whatever, the one that I tasted anyway.
Yeah.
And it was a good flavor. But like I said, I don't know if that was what they were looking for. back last year, I did pretty good in brisket, and I would just lightly glaze. I mean, very, very lightly, just hit the brisket nuts, just put a little shine on it. And it would score pretty well. And then it started bombing, so I quit doing that. And just doing the brisket, light brisket, and it's going a lot better lately. So, you know, I got a little help from David Busca out there, Butcher Barbecue. He was on the show a couple times. He gave a couple pointers, and I called him after one of the shows and talked to him for a little while. And I'll tell you what, I don't know if you ever met David. I'm sure you have. But he knows so much about meat, the molecular structure of it and everything else. And I mean, I'll tell you what, he knows his stuff when it comes to meat.
Well, it takes that. You have to know how the meat's going to react to it, as far as when to put it, give it to it, and when not to. And I think in some ways you need to be a chemist to do what we do, and we just go out and learn what not to do every week. We spend $1,000 to learn what not to do.
Exactly. And you have to be part florist, too, to do the boxes. So just throw that in there for any florists who want to join a team. I'm sure some teams would love to have you build their boxes for them.
We cooked a contest on Friday this week for a contractors association that was benefiting the Ronald McDonald House there in Nashville. And my wife does boxes, and she's always hammering on me about we won a reserve years ago with leaf lettuce in the box. And the only reason why we used leaf lettuce was because there was E. coli in the area in parsley, and they outlawed it for that contest. So she, ever since then, it's like, we need to go back to this leaf lettuce, which I never let her do. But we used leaf lettuce Friday, and we won the grand championship on that, but that was a very small contest. And the contractor that I work for, he wanted to win it, and so they called me to help. But we used that leaf lettuce, and that was so aggravating to get my meat into a box, the chicken and ribs into that box that had that leaf lettuce so fuzzy on the side. It sure gave us, made us realize that parsley is the way to go, for us anyway. I guess that's an opinion, but
we've used it before, and you're always going to touch something on the sides, and it's got some leaf lettuce, and you got to try to wipe it off with the meat inside. And like you said, when you just set it right on top of that parsley and turn it in, that's a good feeling. But when you got to try to tuck it and dodge and dive and all this other stuff with your meat, you know, it gets frustrating as hell. And, you know, as you know, when you turn these boxes in, you want it as simple as possible. You know, you don't want any frustration when you're doing your turn-in. So,
well, you can have. That's really, I think, where it's won and lost, because it's still in your hands. If there is a problem, you can fix it. You know, if it ain't got a taste, add salt. If it's really, you know, dry looking on the outside, spritz it with water. It's in your hands, but if you're all jacked up frustrated, you're just going to shut the lid and let it go. And when that happens, usually you're going to see a bad reaction at the judge. And with leaf lettuce, I really wish I'd had a weed eater to take to it and cut the edges off before we sent it in. It looked like it was hanging everywhere.
Yeah, it looked like a bad haircut.
No doubt, standing straight up.
Yeah, it's like I said, it's aggravating, because you can stick it in there and you stick it in the fridge, you take it back out, it's already come apart. You're like, well, what the hell was I thinking when I built this box? You know, it straightened back out or did something. You're like, I know I bent this or did that or took this or, you know, it's bad when, you 15 minutes before you pull it out and you look at it like, damn, I got to rebuild this thing now. So, yeah, it can be very frustrating. You know, as for any new cooks, you know, I guess everybody that I know of does it. You know, get your boxes done early. If you use parsley, you know, do it right, just so you can stick the feet on top. That's just one last thing you got to worry about at turn-in. You know, I really don't get that flustered at turn-in. It's only like if something I got doesn't have any flavor or whatever, then I'm like, all right, what do I need to add? You know, that's the way my mind thinks. You know, I've got 5 minutes to make this thing pop, so what do you do? But, But, you know, my wife's usually there with me. I had a buddy of mine help me this week, and he's, you know, he was he missed out on the fans club this year. He didn't get to compete in anything, so he's helped me. He was up there at the GBC with me when I think he took Rand up there in Young Harris, and he was up there helping me cook that event. So I brought him along on this one, helped drive and all that fun stuff. So, but, you know, we, you know, just sitting there talking to people, they try to, you know, my teammates just stay calm, we'll do this, we'll do that, you know, get a game plan on each category. So when you get ready to pull it off, you know, everything's going to work like a well-oiled machine, which 8 out of 10 times it doesn't, but, you know, the thought's there.
You know, that's what cost me getting all that egg all over my face on Barbecue Pitmaster when that pork started oxidizing on me because I didn't sauce it. You know, if I'd been thinking and there wasn't cameras in my face, you know, just as I could have thought, dumped it out of the box, sauced it, put it back in, could have done anything, but, and it was still in my hands, but with all of those camera people going, what's the matter? What, you know, they're trying to get the bad stuff. That makes TV. I got frustrated and just shut the lid, you know, or you've been thinking, you could have, there's a thousand things you could have done to correct that. Throw the whole thing out and just get more, you know, make another box. But had time, that taught me a lesson, and I think it's helped me a lot in regular competition because now it's, you know, stay calm, just make it happen. If it ain't right, work on it until it is right.
Yeah, that thing, you know, I guess. That was another subject I was talking to you about with the Barbecue Pitmaster's experience. You could tell that on there that, you know, you knew that your pork was dead on. And like I said, it looked like you were trying to think of what to do, but, you know, when you got cameras rolling in your face and you're like everybody else, you're not used to that stuff. You don't know what they're going to put on the air and what they're not, and, you know, how they want all this to unfold and all that. I mean, we don't know from behind the scenes what they want from you. So, if you being there, I mean, you know, we can't be in your shoes, but I can understand where that can get you a little flustered and, you know, take you out of your thinking game.
Well, and that starts. It's a regular competition. And it's the minute that you're told what you're going to do and where you're going to do it, the first thing they do is they strap that mic on you. And there, at that point in time, there's two things happening. One, you're trying to cook and do what you feel is a competition, and they're trying to make a TV show. Those two do sort of buck phases a little bit there, especially every time your smoker door opens, they want in it, no matter what. If you know, just for instance, I was just sitting there talking with Steve, and I said, I think we ought to take a look at those ribs. Well, boom, you know, a port-a-john door opens, and that's our cameraman. He's in the bathroom. He come running out, pulling up his drawers. Hold on, you can't do that without me being there. And I just thought I was talking to Steve, but see, they're listening to everything that you say in that motorhome. And everybody's wired to you, so... You know, you're used to having a door open on the smoker for a couple of minutes, it might be open 10 minutes. So that changes timing. And, you know, so that if I had another shot at it, I think that what little bit of a, I made it through the ribs great. We won ribs. But I think the pork, I hadn't cooked that cut of pork before. You know, that's such a big cut of meat and the way the money muscle lays in it, and you know, it just didn't cook and react the way that, of course, I didn't know you could cut it up in pieces like Melissa did and cut the money muscle off of it, but you know, if I had to do over and knew the things I do now, I think I could change the outcome of that. But the main thing that it does is just, it's hard to get comfortable with all that going on. So if I said, oh crap, this happened, well, then your director would say, what happened? And he writes down the time, and he's making a book. And what all of that is about is they're filming then, but on Sunday you go back and they pull up exactly what you said and what time it was, and then that's the part that you're, you know, when they cut to you, off of the set, and it says, "When I did this." Well, that's the part where the interviews are Sunday, so you recap the whole day. So
right.
If you say anything, then you're going to have to stop 10 minutes and talk about it.
Yeah.
So that's all the timing and everything. But if you did it again, you'd understand exactly what they're doing. You understand that all you're doing is now you're really making the TV show, which is all cool. I mean, it was a fun and great experience. I don't think even going out first is not a bad experience. It's all positive and all good, and I'd do it again in a heartbeat. You know, it's just, but, you know, the first time you rode a bicycle, you probably didn't do it as good as the last time you did it.
Yeah, that's, you know, it's good to do stuff like that because, I mean, you promote barbecue, and we all like to do that. You know, sports getting bigger and bigger, and, you know, I think a lot of those teams, including yourself, are probably glad it's getting bigger because there's usually more prize money and more competitions, and hopefully you don't have to travel so far away from home to do some, you know, really good competitions. And, you know, in the past, you know, teams are traveling 40, 50,000 a year to do it, and now they're 20, 25,000 miles, and it's 40 comps in a year. I'm fortunate to have, you know, two in South Carolina, North Carolina, a couple in Tennessee, and then a lot in Georgia that, you know, I'm probably within 3 hours of 33, 35 contests. But there again, I do a couple South Carolina Barbecue Association ones. I did some SBN, which are Southern Barbecue Network. It's a new sanctioned body coming out. They just do two meets for the most part. And then I did my first FBA this year and won grand, my first and only. And then, you know, KCBS. So, you know, fortunate to have, you know, all these competitions close enough to home where I don't have to travel 50,000 miles to do them. Because I won't be able to do them then. But how many competitions you going to end up doing this year? You're doing quite a few, aren't you?
Yeah, you know, I hadn't counted them. I think last year I did around 20, and probably this year it may be 25.
Okay.
Something, you know, that's not as much as some of the people out west do, but as you say, it's, there's only so many that you can travel to.
Yeah, and I mean, I know you're in Kentucky. Kentucky has a few. You know, you're not that far from Illinois or, you know, Tennessee or North Carolina or Missouri. You know, it's all kind of up in that area. But, you know, the people in the Midwest, you know, with Kansas, Missouri, and Oklahoma and all those, you know, they put on so many contests a year. Granted, the money isn't as great as it is, you know, Southeast or in the South. But, you know, they get their points out. And, you know, it kind of splits up a lot of the good teams. I mean, you look at the caliber of teams that were there this week. You know, we're pretty loaded with them in the Southeast. And when I tell the Georgia team, I say, you know, I get tired of butting heads with you every weekend. I got to go off and do some, you know, do some soul searching on some other, you know, get away from y'all for a little bit. So, you know, but you travel, you know, Tennessee and Alabama and Georgia and I think you've been to North Carolina and Virginia and all those places. So
Ohio seems to be a place that it doesn't work for me as well. But and Ohio is really not that far away from me. But there's, you know, every area has got a little bit different way the judges, you know, what they're looking for, I think. And either that or it's just luck of the draw. But if I do a fourth-place finish in Ohio, I've done really good. And Jim Ferguson just called me a couple, I don't know, maybe last week and asked would I come into a certain contest in Ohio. And I said, no, I just signed up with Jim down at Roane, Georgia. I'm going to go to Roane, Georgia, mainly because of the air show. I like air shows, but he said, oh, you need to come up here. You're second in the Ohio Points Cup. And I said, you're kidding me. How can I be second? And he said, yeah, you're just 11 points off the leader. And I said, well, I've done told Jim I'm coming, but I don't know. Last time I come out of Ohio, I said, I ain't never crossing that river again. Every time I do, I just get beat up.
Well, I guess a lot of teams are beat up than you then.
Yeah, And it's hard to get to. Gosh almighty, it seems like Ohio Highway 71 out of Louisville is uphill both ways, and the roads beat up. But you know, just some areas you get more comfortable in, like, you know, to go everything down in Tennessee is really, really fun, in Alabama, and it seems like that's sort of the way that I cook, is the flavor profiles that they like. And hadn't done anything. St. Louis, Missouri is as far west as I've been. Well, I did one in Arkansas, that thing that Ron Cates put on 2 or 3 years ago, where there was 250 teams or something.
The one that had a smoke on the water?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Those are some really good contests. I hate to see them go. I mean, they had one in Daytona and Talladega and all those places.
Yeah, I went to the one in Talladega, and, you know, that one, I think it was probably a $50,000 purse. I had 2 fourth place calls, and they paid really good money. I was like, man, I hope he keeps this up, because that, you know, even if you're not first place, you're going to get home with some money.
Yeah, like I said, you know, us as cookers always looking for, you know, when we go cook this, you know, how many chances do we have of winning our money back? You know, if we can break even at a contest, it's a win for us. So, a lot of teams look at it that way.
That I got an email that there's another one in Nevada, I guess, that Ron Cates is putting on the week after this Vegas thing. I can't stay to do it, but I'd heard it was 100,000, but I think it said 20,000.
So, I think it's 20,000 too. Well, you've got another call on the line, 678-777. Who we have here?
Bubba.
Hey, Bubba, how you doing, buddy?
I'm all right. I just barely caught it.
Well, that's good. Glad to have you on here. As you know, if you've been listening, we've got Donnie Bray on here, and it's not too often you get the grand and reserve grand from a Sam's Club regional on the radio show, so glad to have you on here.
Yeah, we're actually out furniture shopping and all kinds of junk like that, you know, the fun stuff.
Yeah, I know. I'll tell you, we've been home remodeling, so hopefully that's coming to an end here shortly.
Yeah, I think we're about to start.
Go ahead and buy you a $3,000 or $4,000 couch. You can afford it now.
Now I gotta pay for that damn trip out to Vegas and Arkansas.
Can I just ride with you? I'm going to both of them.
we were talking about possibly staying out for that other one he's got going on. Ron Cates that y'all just talking about there in Laughlin, but. I don't know. You know, I heard this weekend it was a $100,000 pot, and I got to look, and it's only $20,000.
Yeah, I think Randall put that out on the Facebook about people going out there, you know, trying to catch that one. That's in Nevada, isn't it?
Yeah, it's about 2.5 hours south of Vegas. You know, the thing is, you know, you're talking about, you know, additional time spending out there. You know, it's probably, you know, I don't know, another $1,000-$1,500 to spend the week, and you know, I like to go out and have a good time, so it could easily cost me a little bit more than that. And I by the time you get done, I mean, other than just going out there and cooking, since you're there, that's, you know, even if you win, you're about going to break even on the thing by the time you're done with it all. So I'm not sure what we're going to do there yet.
Yeah, I'm in the World Food Championships too, and I'm still weighing my options going out there.
I estimate that one's going to run me about $5,000 by the time I go out there and back. I'm looking probably at a $2,500 fuel bill alone.
Well, what I got on my packet was that I guess you're cooking on your tent, so you can't have your camper and all that crap there, from what I understand.
I might have to look at that. Anyway.
I would look at that, because that was what I understood, was that... I don't know. I may be wrong, but if you go online, you can look at your competitor's pack. They just emailed me mine today, I think. And
I printed all that out yesterday because I thought I said you had a 20 by 40 spot.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if you wanted additional electric, another 20 amps is $210.
Yeah.
What you need with that?
Another canopy was $100. What the hell? I could buy a canopy for that. I didn't really get all in depth. I kind of grazed over it a little bit. I'm thinking, good Lord, now we're going to add another $400-$500 on already what we got to spend to get out there.
Mm-hmm.
So, weigh my options. I got a couple sponsors looking at it and stuff. And I'm like, hey, it's in y'all's hands now. Because I ain't footing the bill for that. Somebody's going to have to help. So, but you can run it off to your restaurants and everything. So, you got a little... you'll still have income coming in if you're out there.
Right.
So
it's all marketing.
That's it. That's number one thing. Get your face on the TV and everybody else will follow this. So, they'll make an extra down to see Bubba. And Bubba and Harry's out on a golf course somewhere, they're going to be pissed.
What's been going on the show tonight? I haven't been listening in, and we've been out doing stuff, and I just saw what time it was and figured I'd call in quick and touch base.
Well, we were talking about how Donnie was bombing in chicken, so he fixed that. So we just talked about the other teams up there at the regionals, about the strong field that we had and all the teams that, are moving on and everything, and talked about Mo Kasem's brisket that he brought around. I think he gave everybody a piece of it. He kind of thanked the brisket, and I mean, I was in the trailer with you when we ate it.
Yeah.
And I thought it was pretty damn good. Donnie thought it was pretty damn good, but, I don't know if it was me or what, but, I tasted a little bit of a sauce on it. But it might have been like a little white glaze or whatever, but I thought Donnie, I said, that's the only thing I think it could have thrown the judges off. I mean, I don't know. I thought it was a well-cooked piece of meat.
Well, my take on the weekend, everybody out there, that was a tough field of cooks to be involved with. Realistically, just about anybody out there could have won that event. We were all eyeing for the same thing. I mean, I just wanted a top 10, and I literally didn't even think that I had made it in. I'm completely dumbfounded and shocked that I won the thing. I thought Pack of Smokes and Donnie had wrapped the whole thing up. It definitely was a tough field, and I think that, anybody out there needed to pretty much have their A game going that weekend. I mean, I know I had a solid cook. I sandbagged a little, I guess you could say. Now I was real concerned with my brisket, and I was very shocked with that as well, because it had seized up on me, and I just had a little bit of time to work with it, and I guess realistically I got some pieces out of it that did well.
Well, we were also discussing, and Donnie actually brought this up before I did, was what was the hand over the mouth thing? I was thinking you're trying to get in touch with your feminine side there for a minute, but, it was like...
I I literally did not think that I even made it. I was back there with Pack of Smokes, and I think Donnie was off to the right of where we were, and, Jimmy with Everglades was right there in Rub, and, I congratulated whoever was around me, that I thought was going, and I congratulated Pack of Smokes thinking that they had won it and that Donnie had reserved it. And, they were going, oh, no, we didn't hear anything on our ribs. We could have tanked our ribs. I'm like, man, y'all were in this thing. You got it wrapped up. And I actually I worked my way over there to be able to collect my score sheet. And, when they called me, I mean, I wish somebody had gotten a picture of my reaction, because it was nice to have actually a big surprise like that. I feel like it's been a long time since I've actually had a real big surprise like that. When we all go to awards, we all kind of try and calculate who's driving and where things will wind up. So it was very nice for me to be a big surprise the way that it was. I just wanted a top 10 this weekend, but to win it, I mean, that definitely was icing on the cake.
Scott, Kansas Center Brewing, he got like fifth or sixth with one call, and he's like, Are you kidding me? I'm in. I didn't. You know, I only had one call. You know, one call. That's all. You know.
Well, and it was tight too. I mean, I think between Donnie and I, what was that? 2/1,000ths of a point.
That's six,
I mean,
in realistic terms, that's 6 grains of salt. Too much.
I don't even
enough.
Know. I don't even know if it's that much. To be honest with you, I mean that was as close as you could get. I believe
that was 1 grain of salt per chicken thigh.
There you go. But it was nice. I mean, you know, I'm ecstatic to have won it. I'm extremely happy to be moving on to the finals, and I think as well as anybody else that's in there. I mean, you know, a big round of applause goes out to everybody that has put forth the effort to be in it. You know, we all wanted the same thing, and now I think we're all going to tighten the bolts down and go to Bentonville with some serious game faces on and see what we can do. I mean, that's big money they've got going on out there.
It's unreal that it sounds like you're talking about golf when you say that we're going to go compete for $150,000. That's just unreal that it blows me away that one company is willing to do that much for this, we'll call it sport.
I think having Sam's and Walmart come on, you know, I mean, you know, we're talking, you know, the largest company in the world, you know, they obviously can make things happen, and to get involved with what we do, I think that it only creates opportunity for all of us out there, you know, and barbecue, it's so hot right now. I mean, I don't think that we could have asked for a better company to jump in. I mean, I would love to see some more of these big corporate companies get involved with what we can do, because it can only make things even better. You know, not just from a competitive level. I mean, you know, everybody knows that, you know, I've got restaurants and, you know, this is how I make my living. You know, I think it creates more opportunity for that. But just in general, I mean, I would love to see some of these bigger corporate companies get more involved with it, you know. I mean, who knows, maybe, you know, Home Depot or Walmart or any of these, maybe they decide to sponsor a team, you know, and you've got, you know, the Walmart barbecue crew or Sam's, you know, barbecue, whatever the case may be, out and about.
Yeah, I think that's a big possibility coming up because, you know, like I said, barbecue's getting bigger and bigger. If you look at teams 8 years ago, I mean, it's 10 times the size of it now as it was. So, and there's bigger and bigger money each year and more contests. That's more and more exposure for companies or, like you said, restaurants or whatever. And, you know, when you cook for a restaurant or whatever, you own a restaurant, it doesn't, you know, matter who it is. You know, when you start doing good, people are going to hear the name. They're going to say, oh, that's that place. We need to go there. Or they're going to make an extra, you know, 30-mile trip out of the way like you want to do when you go out to Vegas to those Texas places. You know, you've seen them on TV and you heard about them. You know, if you're in a general vicinity, you're going to make a trip to the boat and try them out. So, you know, I think it works good for everybody because, like I said, you got the supplier, you got the people that do it, and, you know, if people get these sponsorships going, you know, it's just going to be more and more exposure for the team and the corporation that it decides to sponsor.
Oh, yeah.
Well, people it's easy to get people involved if they can get somebody to pull for. Just like if you watch NASCAR, if you don't have a driver or something that you can relate to, you're probably not going to get into it as much as if you take enough time to actually learn somebody. Same with music. You know, you could hear a song on the radio and it not hit you very well, but if you ended up, you was at the concert, you'd probably be... You would something would connect you with that person and you would like it. So then putting us in the public's eye at that contest and the TV exposure that's happening right now, it's going to give people somebody to root for it. And next thing you know, you're going to get a lot of people supporting it.
Well, yeah, you know, one of the things that I really like, you know, the way that I look at barbecue, you know, I think that everybody can relate to it in some form or fashion. you know, there are those of us, you know, that are running around like a band of gypsies cooking on the weekends in different parts of the country and having a good time. You know, we definitely take it a little more serious than others, but, you know, I don't care if it's the guy that is cooking out on the weekend on his back porch. You know, and it doesn't matter if you make, you know, $10,000 a year or $100,000 a year. It's all relative. It's something that everybody can relate to and pick up from it. You know, it's, you know, it means getting together, having good times, good food, and making memories out of it. You know, and so having the door opened up for that, and with these large companies that are willing to jump in and get involved and make some opportunities happen and being able to have that exposure out there, you know, there can be nothing but good that comes from it for everybody.
You know, I'm seeing more and more people at his contests. They're more interested in what you're cooking on and, you know, what kind of wood you use and everything else. You know, a lot of these people got the money to go out and buy, you know, a decent gravity-fed smoker or an offset smoker or something like that, you know, good quality made one, and, you know, produce some really good food. I mean, a lot of these guys are really into it. They just don't have the time to put forth to do this, you know, competition schedule or whatever. But, you know, they can still do local events and stuff, maybe get into it, but it's kind of, you know, this time of year and everything, you know, a lot of people are really outside grilling because it's cooled off a little bit, and, you know, they want to try new things. They visit one of these events, whatever, they're like, yeah, I got to do that. And, you know, that starts it all. That's what got me going.
Well, you know, and the other side of it, too, is, you know, even though, you know, there are people that do have money to go out and do some of this stuff, you know, it doesn't mean that you have to have money to go out and do it. You know, I mean, you know, I personally, you know, between a truck and trailer alone, got $100,000 wrapped up into running out, plus everything else. You know, Donnie's got a set up. Jim, you got a set up. There's plenty of other guys. You know, we have a lot of money wrapped up in what we so, you know, but you don't have to have that kind of money wrapped up into what we do. I mean, I remember when I first got started in this, I saw one of the teams that I saw, it was 2-4 guys and a grill. They literally had a steel drum that was cut in half, and they had an old Weber kettle, and the legs were gone, so they were burning the charcoal in the steel drum, and they had the Weber kettle sitting on top of it. So it was imagination and ingenuity that got them done, getting into it. But, you know, it is. I mean, you can just go out and, you know, for those that look at barbecuing as grilling, you know, it's different, but it's all relative to the same thing. So, you know, again, I think, you know, from that aspect, anybody can relate to what we do. And whether you are going to go out and spend big money and big dollars and really get involved and travel the country and compete, or, you know, just hang out and, you know, with your buddies, do stuff at home, have a block party, or do just some local things out there, everybody can get involved with it. And it's not just a man sport, realistically.
No, it's not. I mean Steve McKenna was there. I mean, she was a suit master for the pit crew. She was right across the road from me. I mean, it's not just a man sport. But it's a family sport. I see a lot of kids out there, stuff that's in the father out or their uncle out or whatever like that. I mean, look at Smoke This with Steve and Scott and all them. You got Alex. Just, I mean, he's up with this stuff. And I think up in Dillard, he helped me. He got started watching Steve Scott Sleeps. He came over and helped me with the ancillary categories. And, I mean, the kids.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he's been with them for years. And, you know, he loves it. So, you know, it's a lot like all the legacies that, you know, your father put forth. I know you're doing some of them, but not all of them, but this is another legacy for, you know, the next generation to come in and, you know, kind of get interested in it. You know, I love seeing families. You know, we've made, I think, barbecue one big happy family out there for the most part. And, it's not about hanging out with them. It's not just about cooking. And
that's exactly right. You know, I mean, look at all the dinners we've done this year. You know, getting together on a Thursday or Friday night, all these potluck dinners, and just, you know, hanging out, having some adult beverages, and just making a weekend of it. Just happen to be competing and wanting to beat each other's ass all at the same time.
That's it. But, you know, it's the potluck dinners. You get to see some cooking skills that you don't see from other teams. And it's like, good Lord, glad I ain't cooking this category against you or something like that. You know, I mean, there's some. That potluck dinner, and I said, hell, you start eating some of those, you're like, damn, I'm lucky.
Yeah, well, so, we've had some good potluck dinners this year, too.
We have, and I think it started in Cornelia, but I tell you what, it just snowballed. I mean, it's great fun. I mean, hell, I think down at Bonsog, we had, what, 18 or 20 teams in it?
Something like that.
Some people didn't bring nothing, which is fine. And we still had food left over, you know, and it was just unbelievable the spread you can have these things. You got three, you know, 8-foot tables full of food, and then they bring out a table of dessert, and you're like, well, crap, I wish I'd known this would have done. I wouldn't eat so much of this, and this, you know. So,
you go hungry at a barbecue contest on the weekend, and there's something wrong.
It's your own damn fault. That's all I can say.
That's exactly right.
There was something for everybody. And, you know, maybe up at Rome, we'll treat Donnie into this because he's going to be up there in Rome. So maybe he can get in on a little of the potluck action up there in Rome. See how we do it down here in Georgia, I guess. But, you know, a lot of North Carolina teams will be there, and that, you know, they all do it too, and it's just, you know, it's just fun to sit around and BS and have a couple beers before the show now. And, yeah, oh, by the way, I appreciate the dinner you bought with your earnings last Saturday. I appreciate that.
Yeah. All right, well, listen, I'm gonna let y'all know we're actually going to sit down and grab a bite to eat now. I want to just try and make sure that I did get a call in and see what's going on. So, yeah, I wish everybody luck out there, you know, whether it's just on the weekend or all of us that are making it out to Bentonville. You know, we're all eyeing for the same thing wherever we go and whatever we do. So, you know, again, good luck to everybody. And, you know, if ever I can help anybody else, you know, I don't expect anybody to be afraid to reach out.
All right, Bubba, great having you on the show, man. I appreciate it, buddy.
All right. Take care, Jim. Johnny, you too, bud. Congrats again.
Thank you. See you in Rome.
So that was Bubba Q, who just took the grand championship up there in the regionals up there in Sam's Club, owner of Bubba Q restaurants and everything. So, so Donnie, after Rome, what were you heading? You taking the week off? Are you before Bentonville, or what are you going to do?
No, I think I'm in. I think I'm in Springfield, Kentucky. That's a week of the Royal, right?
Right.
Yeah, I pulled out of the Royal because of all the traveling, but I've put myself back into Springfield, Kentucky. The Jim Beam had got a little points chase that I hadn't been able to put as much effort into as I want to. They're taking three of your best cooks out of the Kentucky contest, and I've only got two, and I think I'm fifth in points, but... I was talking with Durag today. He's right there around me somewhere, too, and he's going to be cooking it. So I'm hoping me and him both can move up in those points and maybe get a dollar or two of it. Go ahead.
Just get some crumbs. You don't have to have it all, right?
That's right. Just a little bit. A little toe money if we could get it.
Yeah. Fill up the gas. It's going to get a little bit more and more as we go through the year, I believe. So.
Yeah, that's my birthday weekend, and we like doing the Springfield, Kentucky contest because Eddie Montgomery's Steakhouse is just about 20 miles down the road, so we usually go and have a birthday party and a few adult beverages and some great steaks there at Eddie Montgomery's Steakhouse.
Well, good. How many? How far away is that for you to Springfield?
You know, it's only it's 75 miles to E-Town, so I would say it's somewhere in just touching 100 miles.
Okay, so you're about an hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes.
Yeah, it's really pretty close, and that little town just puts so much effort, and I think it's like a $16,000 payout that's pretty tight on their parking's pretty tight, but they – the whole town just shuts down and has a festival, and it's just, you know, it's just great to be a part of something where they, where the whole town's kicking in. You know, a lot of times you go and it'll be an organization that's doing something, but I like these little places where the town is actually doing it.
Part of that, you know, it's the feeling that, you know, that the community is supporting it. And, you know, we go to the contest, you know, we don't expect a whole lot, but, you know, I feel like we bring in a good little economic boost, especially for these smaller towns. And, you know, it's nice that, I mean, they appreciate it. You ain't got to do much, you know, just show a little bit of appreciation. But, you know, we do one down in Waynesboro, the Boss Hog Cook-Off, and I think Bob will agree with me that a lot of times we just go down and eat that breakfast on Saturday morning because you got about 10 or 12 little ladies down there. I would now have three different kinds of grits and four different kinds of eggs and sausage gravy and biscuits and bacon and unbelievable spread they put out on Sunday morning. And they always have stuff for the cooks. When you arrive, they've got a room set aside. Mr. Golf Cart gives us the whole area. And they have snacks and waters and drinks and all this stuff out there from the time you get it to the time you leave. So you can go up at 2 o'clock in the morning, get you a couple donuts and, you know, soft drink or waters or whatever. And, I mean, it's just, you know, it just makes you feel, I guess what I told you before, it makes you feel all warm and fuzzy inside because, you know, the people really come out and support that event. And they're all really glad you're there. And, you know, so you go to these little local diners and stuff down there, and they just, you know, glad you're there and all this other stuff. And it makes you feel good. And then you go to something that, you know, care less if you're there or not. And you're like, well, you know, there's a few contests. I know there's a few on your list. There's some you just don't miss every year. And that's what really makes it.
Well, we got another one here in Kentucky that way. If anybody's looking for a place to go, I don't know if they're full or not, but, of course, I'll go to Springfield after Rome, and then I guess it's out to Bentonville, and then it's back to Mumfordville, Kentucky, which is straight up I-65 for me, about 45 miles. It's probably not even that far, 30 miles. But Mumfordville, they do something a little bit different. I mean, they got a great payout, too. It's $10,000, $12,000, $15,000. And they get the town involved with the dessert class. And that area is a lot of Mennonite people, and they get those ladies cooking, and they have a great big dessert class, but they end up, I've heard them, I can't remember how many thousand, but the spectators, you know, 5, 10, 15,000 show up around that square because of them letting everybody in. You don't have to be a cook team to be getting a dessert, but at 4 o'clock in the morning, or maybe it's 3 o'clock, they come around to every team, and the Mennonite ladies make homemade donuts and give them to everybody at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. And then there on the square, they've got a worship hall that they put on a big, big, big breakfast for everybody. So there again, it's another deal where the whole town, the mayor comes up and shakes your hand, thanks you for your support. It's hard to go from that to a contest where, you know, you're just another number of somebody's organization, you know, that they decided to put on a contest.
Well, you know, when you deal with the community comes out and supports and everything, I've got another caller on Roger Wise, Pickin' Porkers, and he'll agree that, you know, he makes the trip down to Boss Hog every year, and it's not a skip and a jump for him, but, you know, you pick these events where, you know, if you got to go, sometimes you take the one with a little less payout. So, you know,
sorry about that.
You got your arms?
Yeah, that's, I duck hunt. So that was, I got a couple of my labs in here with me. So,
well, I'm a big duck hunter, too. We'll have to get together. I got a lab in the backyard right now. She's itching to go. So, yeah. I saw one of your labs up there in at the Sam's Club.
Yeah, she's probably my best one, and she's getting some age on her now, but she's definitely she's an on-fire duck hunter.
Well, that other one you had looked kind of like a pig, but I wasn't sure. You know,
she'd eat a duck, but she wouldn't hunt one. That's definitely a pig. That's Gracie. I couldn't believe I was sitting there and I was on my smoker and they had her in the motorhome and the girls, they went into Sam's Club to shop and they didn't latch the door. And I look over there and I guess that was a pack of smokes that was beside of me. And my hog's under their cooker eating scraps and I'm going, well, they got a hog just like I got. And, of course, they was all petting it. And I said, no, that's my hog. It's got loose. So they got a big kick out of that. I got a hog trying to jump in their smoker.
Well, I saw when you were up underneath the smoker. So I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know if you scared them or what. And I heard that pig squeal. And I said, what's Donnie doing that? Act like a pig. Now I said, I saw a pig. And I'm like, all right, that wasn't Donnie squealing.
Yeah, my ribs ain't quite done yet.
That's right. They're a little raw.
they're squealing a little bit.
Well, you cook everything but doink, right?
That's right.
Do you know Roger Wise?
I'm sorry?
Do you know Roger Wise from Pig and Porkers?
No, I don't think I've met him.
Roger, you're on the air, buddy. He was up in, I know he was up in Salisbury, North Carolina this past weekend against Tuffy and Old Minute Grill and Midnight Burn and Chick-fil-A Bovine and Smokehouse Mafia and BS Pitmeisters and all them. So, Roger, how you doing tonight, buddy?
Hey, I'm doing well. I didn't know I was, I'm on, so.
You are?
I'm doing great considering the butt kicking we got this weekend, but that's the way it goes.
Y'all know that feeling.
If it happens to all of us at least once in our life, and probably more so than we want.
But Donnie Rogers is going to be making that trip out to Bentonville in a couple weeks, too. So y'all have to hook up and meet one another out there.
Yeah, no doubt.
We've never had the opportunity to compete, to the best of my knowledge, against each other. But, that's the barbecue world, but yeah, we'll be out in Bentonville, and I've spent a good portion of my day trying to study the Midwestern flavors. And everybody gives me the devil about, oh, cook what you take, or what got you there. Well, I'm sorry, folks, my Lexington, North Carolina barbecue sauce will not score well in Bentonville, Arkansas. So I've been studying up some changes and thinking of how to do some practice cooks here before I go out there and get with those very unreasonable judges because they don't know barbecue like I do.
I just wonder how that field of judges was picked. Do you think they're hand-picked to judge the best of the best? Or that, wonder if it's celebrity judges. Has anybody heard how they do that?
Well, the only thing I'm sure of is to judge, you have to be a master judge. And as far as who the judges are confirmed by or allowed in, I have no idea. But I, and you're asking the question I ask myself. I'm trying to think that if I were in a judging mood, I would probably try to make that trip myself, even from North Carolina. But I'm not a master judge. So I'm trying to figure out what the judges may be coming because I really don't know that you can run out there with a Lexington, North Carolina style sauce, and I think people are tired of Blues Hog Tennessee Red and Blues Hog Original 50-50 mixtures and Head Country and all that. So I don't know where these judges are coming from. I'm trying to figure out what it is these folks may be desiring out there.
Well, that's a $50,000 question.
In more ways than one, let's say $150,000.
Yeah, $50,000 to win. So if you got that figured out, you at least get that.
Yeah,
it's
going to be a shootout out there. Like I said, I haven't ventured further than Alabama, so I don't know what they do on the other side of the Little Tennessee River, so to speak. So I'll be kind of lost.
Well, March is my wife, by the way. We're planning to make a barbecue excursion out of it. You know, regardless of how we turn out, our intention to eat in all of the more popular places between Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and Bentonville, Arkansas, on the way out and back. Fortunately, we have a sister-in-law that lives in Memphis, so we'll stay in Memphis overnight. Well, we've been there several times, and we're actually tired of the Memphis-style sauces and flavors out there. So I don't think we're going to learn anything new. But we'll give it a try.
Well, that's not all you can do. You know, if you can get out in that local area, you might, like I said, you might be able to pick up something you could add to your sauce instead of changing it totally. You know, kind of tame the vinegar down a little bit, I guess. But I'm rooting for y'all. I was rooting for y'all this past weekend. I was looking at the score sheets and everything, and I saw where Chick-fil-A Bovine was way down the list. I'm like, holy crap, here we go again. And, you know, I think it was you and Smokehouse Mafia and somebody else was like neck and neck right there around the 20th spot. And, you know, I was kind of shocked to see that. And, you know, I just competed against Charles Farewell up there in the Union, South Carolina, and I took Grant. I think he finished up fourth or fifth overall. And then, I mean, it just shows you, you know, if it's your day, you know, you go up there and win a big one. And he won Shelby 2 years ago, and, you know, nobody thought he had a chance to win it, but he did. So, you know.
Well, I was tickled to see Charles win it, and the more cook-offs that he does anymore, he does maybe two or three a year, KCBS, that is. And so
yeah.
A testament to Charles' abilities there. He hasn't lost a touch. On the other hand, I was really surprised to see some of the other teams that we may not hear very much of or never heard of in the top 10, which doesn't bother me. You always have new blood coming into the scene, and actually we really need that to keep our, I'm not going to say sport, I always call it an endurance, keep it alive. And I think that it is also a testament to perhaps these teams that's not as well versed as the older teams or the more experienced teams. I think it's a testament to the fact that Judge is looking for something new, something more different. And so I take a lot of interest in seeing how these results turn out. But again, a lot of these teams that were in the top 10 or top 15, for that fact, I've never even heard of.
Yeah, I hadn't either. You know, it was, you know, of course, you know, for BFP minus Kentucky, which makes it legit, you know, that it wasn't just a fluke or whatever for all the teams. But, you know, there are several teams in front of y'all that I'd never even heard of before. I mean.
Oh, yeah. That top 10 is loaded, no doubt. Kentucky coming in 1, 2, 3, that doesn't surprise me a bit. Kentucky's a heck of a competitor, and I don't think Tuffy's cooking the same thing today that he may have been cooking last year this time, if he can ever get a straight answer out of it. But I think the more acute cooks in this profession that we do are always learning to change and understanding different changes in preferences in these judges and their own taste. In fact, because they get tired of their own food after a while.
Yeah. Have you changed much over the years, Donnie, or are you still talking about where you were at years ago?
Well, you know, I'm going to go back to the chicken thing I was talking about earlier. You know, I focus on trying to have a level cook with nothing. If I keep them all up, then the overall score is going to carry you. So chicken, for me to struggle with it, I was keeping that the same thing that I had got a call with chicken, the first call I ever had, I was just keeping that up. And I went no telling how many contests were that wasn't working. And I know I was cooking it the same way I did, but there was a little bit of a change. And, you know, who's going to tell you there's a change other than yourself? You know, when you can get some hints here and there. But I did have to make a major change. And as soon as I did, it started bringing it back in the ball game. I'm not saying it's where it needs to be, but I got stuck in a rut trying to keep four categories level. And you got to watch yourself, because if it don't work for a while and you know you've been pretty consistent, there's probably been something that slid one way or another, and you're missing out. So to answer your question, I've been pretty much a stick in the mud and not changing stuff, but it's bit me, and I think you got to be able to sort of roll with the punches and change your profile just a little bit to sort of work with the area too.
It's just really tough to pull that trigger, you know. Because you think you're just right on the verge of it, and you really don't want to mess with it because you're confident or you're, you know, you just know it's going to come back to that. But, you know, it's kind of hard to just pull the trigger on something like that and do it. I mean, it's almost like a last resort type thing.
Well, you feel like as long as you're doing the same thing, you pretty well know where you're at. And if you change it, you're going to get lost again. And it's
yeah.
so easy for it to get lost, you know. A good example, I'm not great friends, but I do enjoy talking with Scott with Southport. And, you know, that he was team of the year with Chicken, and then it seems like you go back and cook against him the next year, and he's really struggling too. Them things happen. Things slide around, and I think if you sort of watch other people score a little bit, it might give you a little bit of give you more education of when you should change, you know, if it's happening to other people. But I don't know. I'm afraid to do anything different because it seems like you get off. I did that with pork before. I've seen a picture online of a pork and how somebody was glazing a butt and doing these type things. And the next thing you know, I'm calling KCBS store and what's everybody using? And I get hung up in something that leads me off last year in pork, and I like to never got back home. So, you know, a couple of experiences like that, then you get just set in your ways and say, I ain't changing nothing. But it seems like every time I step off the porch, sometimes I get run over by the barbecue truck.
Boy, I understand that one all too well, Donnie. I was one of those hardcore standouts with pork until this. I think this past weekend I finally got it through my head. You may not be familiar with our history. In 2009, we were 6th in pork in the country. And in 2010, we were 13th. And those very same recipes, they won't buy me a top 10 finish anymore. And so that's a good example of how things change. And I guess I sound more like a whiner than a fact finder, but I think things change in preferences there. And I blame myself only for the fact that I'm not staying on top of things and looking at things objectively. I tend to stick with the old, like the old fart that I am, and won't change. And so I finally got it in my head this past weekend. Out of 50 teams, here's a team that was 6th in the country with the same pork that was 6 years ago, ended up 40th this weekend. And that's a hard pill to swallow. Especially when the tenderness is there and everything else is there, the box was there. So you just have to, in my case, I had to just suck it up and say, Roger, let's face it, your pork sucks. So I've only had 2 top 10 finishes in pork this year. Highly unusual for us, but okay, I get it. I have a feeling we'll be going straight up after some changes I intend to make.
I won 5 grand championships this year without a chicken call, so I know, you know, that seems like it. What would it be if you wasn't dragging one category? And so I did make the move, and I think I've got it going the right direction, but it could easily, you could go just 100% the wrong way. You gotta really be on your toes to make a change if you've had something that works, but I don't have the answer why that happens, but I guess it's a good thing. It don't need to all be the same every year, every contest, but it's sure hard to find another recipe.
That's why we came Kim and Wayne up in Greenwood from Midnight Burn. You know, she told me, she said, trying something totally different in chicken. We've been bombing in chicken, so it's not going to really hurt us. And if it works, I'll tell you what I did. If not, I'm not going to say anything. I think out of 68 teams, I think they were 63rd or 64th in chicken. She said, well, that wasn't the one direction I was hoping to go. But, you know, so she said, well, we had to try it because, you know, to them, at that point, they didn't have anything to lose. But I think since then, though, I mean, they took First, the chicken out of Myrtle Beach, and I mean, they've been plugging along in chicken, so they went back the other way, and I guess it worked for them.
Well, you know, I think that you, and speaking of that, I haven't been a partaker in it, but Danny Kugel's online where you, as he changes recipes, you get it, or ever how that's operating, that'd be something that I guess you could always have to fall back on when you're looking for something different, but other than something to pay for that way, you don't have anybody saying, hey, you know, you fell off a port because they're not saucing anymore, or you hadn't been saucing, but it's time to sauce, or forget the money muscle, or you don't have anybody to tell you that. You have to find it the hard way. Sometimes it takes a whole bunch of competitions to figure that out.
Well, I know Roger, you know, we met Roger, I guess, about 2 years ago, I guess, and we've become pretty good friends with him and Marcia, and, you know, we've kind of, you know, Roger's not afraid to give some of his recipe out. You know, he's helped me out in the past. I don't know if anything I gave him helped him at all, but, you know, he's helped me out in the past, and, you know, we were up this shelf, and he got me, you know, fourth and ribs up there in Shelby, and, you know, we finished up third overall, and just, actually, I think he gave me some of the sauce they used on the pork. And so, you know, there again, you got your friends out there that, you know, help you put two heads together and come up with one big rock. But, you know, you might have a hearsay like, well, I didn't even sauce my pork, and I did really well. I'm going to quit doing it. So sooner or later, it's going to come out. But, you know, it's just depending on the group of people you hang around.
I hear a lot of people talking about less being better. You know, they're not sometimes just salt and pepper, no rubs, no injections. And I've been hearing a lot of different things going in that direction. Of course, that's pretty gutsy to try some of them, but a lot of people that's doing well has went to less instead of more.
Donnie, it's strange that you say that, because I've just commented today that one of the things I'm disappointed in myself and in competition barbecue in general is I've gotten away from my roots. And when I say that, what I mean is I'm used to cooking good, fatty pork over direct heat. There's nothing like the smell and taste of pork where the fat has dripped down on hot coals and sent that flavor right back up to that meat. And I told Marcia today, I said, you know, I'm really thinking about taking a WSM without a water pan and cooking a couple pork butts and just turning that in with a minimum amount of sauce and just see what we end up with. And I really am thinking about doing that.
Well, when you cook it at home and it works and you say, man, this is the way I like to eat pork, you know, you're not going to bomb totally out because there's going to be some people that agree with you. But I think that sometimes you just a flavor profile with that. I think I said earlier that a judge, you know, if you're going to give a flavor profile, it better be really good, because if it covers up the taste of the meat, it's definitely something that could get you an 8 instead of a 9 or possibly a 7. I didn't taste the meat. How many judges you heard say that? So if you can figure out what you just said, if you can figure that out and get in front of a judge, I can't see it being wrong. You know, it's just barbecue. It's not rocket science. It's just barbecue. What tastes good?
I agree with you. I think we just answered my own question here about what I'm going to do in pork.
Well, I've heard a lot of people say the same thing, and it's just trying to get back to the basics and just good barbecue. What's good bark taste like, you know?
Been cooking for the judge too long. Let's start back again. What I like, and we'll build from there.
Yeah, when some of the best pieces of bark, I think, are the kind that's, you know, pretty tough. But we know that a judge, they want to stick the tongue to their palate. If it hurts, it's too done. So you know, but still, some of that bark taste like that is really what I like in eating.
best bark I ever had, and I remember this to this day because it was like your first girlfriend, was reminiscent of what I did in the 70s when I learned to cook barbecue. And that was, and Jim, you're going to love this one. This is in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. That cook-off down there in 2007 when we were cooking it. And we were doing a People's Choice set of butts down there, and all I did was put straight-up kosher salt on these pork butts and put them on a WSM because the smoker had at the time was busy with other things. But whenever we broke these butts down to turn them in for these people down there, I tasted some of that bark, and it just made me stop and pause and think. And I told my wife at the time, and said, I don't know why we're fooling with all these rubs and all this stuff, because this is a real barbecue right here I grew up on and that I know from North Carolina. And for that fact, southeastern United States. And this is really tasty because it had the fat rendered just perfectly. That it was almost like pork skin. It had the salt flavor, had the pork flavor. It was just wonderful. And I hadn't forgotten that one to this day. I'd love to get the guts to turn that in the contest.
No time like the present. Just run it up the flagpole, see what it does.
Well, my next trip off is Bentonville. I don't think I have the guts to do that. Get out of there, because they may not understand this North Carolina idea I have.
Well, you never know. These little BS sessions, you know, you kind of, other people answer your questions without knowing, or do you answer your own question? You know, let's get back to the basics. Let's do this. Let's get rid of, you know, the heavy salt and all that. See how it goes. I mean, they want to taste. That's the only way you can get them to taste pork.
Here's another whole part of the deal, wrap or not wrap.
Yeah.
Well, I did just that just this weekend. And I cooked my competition butts. I only cooked two butts for competition, typically. I wrapped them, of course, and then I had a People's Choice butt up there, which I did not wrap. I did it intentionally. Of course, the bark was beautiful on the one I didn't wrap. And, well, I liked it better than my competition, to be honest with you. I really did. But, again, I let my personal preferences come into play as opposed to my experience. I'm not so sure that if I were to put that in a box, that the judge would go for that. And that's one of the things that aggravates me about talk shows like this, no offense, Jim, and stuff like that. This is all for cooks. I wish some of these judges would chime in and speak up. And I wish they'd call into this program, speak up, let us know what they're thinking. So, judges, if you're out there, speak up. Talk to us. Let us know what it is you're looking for. I guarantee you we'll accommodate every one of you sorry devils if you just call in.
Think of that. You know, a lot of people say, you know, the comment cards, the bitch cards. I'm a big firm believer, as you've done a couple of SBNs, that I like seeing the comment cards. I want to know if it's good, if a flavor profile's there, or if it's not so good, what you didn't like about it. Because you know, you do, you know, four or five contests, you may be over-salting your meat or under-salting it or too much salt or something. But if you can get some input back from these judges, I mean, we're trying to cook down the best food we can. So we just have a little input back from a comment card from these judges. You know, yeah, you're going to get some teams that bitch complain about it, but you know, overall, I want to see why you didn't like my stuff.
Well, I think,
you know,
they owe it to us. We spent $1,000 to get there, and you give us a six. Tell us why. At least if we deserved it, we'll correct it. You know, it's given us a shot. But, you know, I know that they spent money to get there just to eat food, but somebody give me I think it ought to be mandatory. You give me a six, I want to know why. And it could just be a personal opinion, and I'll have to live with that. But, you know, if it's good corrective criticism, I guarantee it'll make me a better cook. But I hate seeing a six, and if I do, most of the time, of course, like everybody else, I feel like I didn't deserve it. But what if I did deserve it? How much help would that be if they just tell me why they did it?
Well, you see that. If you see a pattern, you know, if you see a pattern from one contest to the next where you get a six or a seven, they say, like I said, it was a little too salty or a little bit too much salt or whatever, you kind of back off on that stuff, you know, and then see where you go. But right now, you know, you're kind of like, all right, well, I need to tweak it, but I don't know which way to go. Does it have enough flavor? Not enough? Do I need to quit injecting it or inject it more? Or, you know, what's wrong with it? You know, tell me. Let me know something. I mean, like you said, we spent $1,000 to go to these contests, and, you know, I think we deserve, you know, comment on why you didn't like it or you preferred the other ones over ours. I mean, you know, it's just one of them things. You know, we know, as many cooks as we've done, we know if we deserve something pretty much. You know, if it's not tender enough or, you know, the flavor is something, we pretty much know as a normal cook that, you know, that we know that we're expecting. I burned my ribs up there in damn Dillard and got 16th. I cooked damn good in the 12th week and got 29th. So, who knows? I mean, I don't.
No, I don't either. And I know that for a little while, the KCBS, it may have been earlier this year, that they was keeping up and they was tracking and trying to track the judges and how they scored and some of that kind of stuff. It seems like that sort of just petered out. But, you know, I think that if you get a judge that's just being too hard, you know, that, you know, maybe pull them aside and correct them or –
Well, we've seen that happens quite a bit, Donnie, based on some other judges I know that, particularly as new ones, that are, let's say they're a little gunshot to score anymore because they've seen people pulled off to the side. But and their scoring methods have not been questioned. But as I understand it, and I am no way, shape, or form speaking with any authority for KCBS, but as I understand it, in 2013, they're going to start tracking judges' scores and be able to see how judges are scoring and see the trending. And, you know, I like that idea. On the other hand, I'm curious to see how it's going to turn out. The judges I've talked to that are aware of that proposed change are worried that they're going to be singled out and booted out of the camp, so to speak. But I've kept trying to, I've been trying to explain to them that, listen, I don't know if it's an effort to run you or anybody out in particular, but more of a way to get everybody on a level playing field. And I said, you'll never, ever, from a judge's perspective, ever be able to teach taste because it's a personal preference. But tenderness is something I personally have a hatred for on scores, and this past weekend is no exception. Williams Pork, for example, which I'm best known for, I had 3 9s, 2 7s, and a 6. And there's really no excuse for that. There really isn't. And so these judges put out a 6, and certainly there's no need for that. And the 2 7s, well, I don't know what part of the box they got, but you know, they could at least be a little bit closer, perhaps an 8. And so perhaps that's the intent for KCBS. I don't know. If they do that, I'm going to watch with great interest to see what happens. In the meantime, I've proposed this on past programs, which I've called in on, but I would love to see a group of cooks get together and on strictly on a voluntary basis, and get together and cook a whole mess of barbecue and ribs and briskets and chicken and have a judge's training council, if you will. I don't know if that's the right word, but try to explain to this judges, listen, in our cook's minds, this is a 9, this is an 8, and this is a 7. Anything less than 7, you need to give a 5, and just go from there. But tenderness is one thing that really describes me as a cook. When I see these wild scores and these wild variances, I just go to pieces.
I just recently, in the last couple of contests, that I've done well in the contest, but I've had, I remember one appearance score, and I'm usually, most everybody would get a really good appearance score. And I had 5 9s and a 6. Now, what, I mean, 5 9s and a 7. What did that guy... or lady that give a 7, what did they see that the other 5 didn't? And we're talking about an appearance score, not a taste or not a texture. So, you know, it's like, I think that's the person that needs to be tracked. You know, we got one person that's just sitting over anal, and no matter what you do, they're going to do that. And that person really is the one that I think that tracking would be all about. Or somebody that all they ever gave was 9s. You know, that's not right.
No, that's not. It really isn't. And I agree with you, and I've seen that situation happen so many times. That's one of the best things about KCBS scoring is that people going to drop low scores, so thank goodness that 7 was thrown out. And that's one thing we track very closely. I've purported this, and I'm not bashful about telling teams about this, but on appearance scores, when we build a box, we used to build the old putting green and all that good stuff. We stopped that. We quit it. We don't do it anymore. With the exception this past weekend, we did do a putting green for brisket. Just because of the brisket we were cooking, the small slices we were cooking, we thought it'd get lost. But we used the straight green lettuce in the bottom of the thing. We used it strictly as a liner. And when we did that, our appearance scores actually increased. And one of the driving factors that made us decide to do that as a cook team is we both judge also. And we didn't score anybody down, but we both were aggravated with the fact that every time we took a sample out of a box in the contest we've been judging, we spent a couple of seconds, a good 15 seconds on each sample, taking parsley pieces off our sample so we could eat it. And so we just thought if that aggravates us like this, then we're doing the same thing when we do parsley boxes. So I'm trying to encourage all teams, drop that stinking parsley. Get on out there and just put lettuce in the bottom of the box to give you a little green background and go from there. But it's hard to convince people because, oh, this is the way I've always done it. And, you know, when I got a winning combination, I'm not about to change anything. But I think if you track your scores as closely and accurately as Marcia and I do, you'll see that your scores will not suffer but actually may increase.
Yeah. We was talking about green leaf lettuce, how we had put it in there. We had a bad experience with it just this weekend, but just because it was just too much. But I can see where you're talking about just putting it in the bottom. And that worked good. And it's just, you just get scared to do that, sort of like changing a recipe. You get scared to make the change.
Well, the thing about the appearance score, too, is I've talked to several judges in the last couple of months, and they tell me some horror stories. And I say, well, you got some judges that, you know, if you don't put pulled pork in the box or put burnt ends in the box, they're not going to give you more than 6. And table captain said, well, you know, the judge was there. Well, I don't see them. I'm not judging over, I'm not giving them over 6. They're trying to hide something. And you're like, what the hell? You know, the judges, you know, and those judges are ones that need to be reprimanded. You know, and, you know, in this case, this guy would not change the score for nothing. And, you know, a 6 on appearance, really. I mean, it could be tipped over and dropped and still score better than that, you know.
What's your thoughts on the money muscle? Do you think, I mean, I always talk about putting it in there, and I always do. But personally, I don't like it as well as I do the rest of the meat. What's y'all's opinion?
I think the pulled pork's better. I mean, if you can get the chunks and some bark and stuff in it, I think it's more moist, and to me it's got more of a pork flavor. You know,
and
that's my...
The money muscle being sweet and tasting more like a piece of ham.
Yeah, exactly. It'll get a little hammy on you. I guess it's just because of where the muscle is, but, you know, I don't know. To me, the money muscle and the pulled pork taste a little bit different, and I don't know if the judges are used to that or what. I've always pretty much stuck them in there. You know, there's a lot of South Carolina teams, they do very well in pork. They don't put any money muscle in them. You know, they just put their pulled and shredded or whatever they do, and a lot of them score good. So, you know, I don't know. I don't have that answer.
I'm afraid not to put it in there, but it's not. And I feel like I get it cooked, you know, to where it needs to be. But I still just, even at a perfect texture, it's not as desirable, I think, as the rest of the butt.
that goes back to the point where we got to cook more towards the judges than for ourselves.
Right. Right. And I put it in every time. So,
so now you know, you're rocking a hard place. Pick what you like, and if you don't like it, then the judges will probably like it, and if you don't like it, the judges probably like it. So, you know, it's a crapshoot.
I think it's only in there because it's so hard to cook, and they're trying to figure out, can you stop it before it gets mushy? You know, I think I think it's only in there just to show, can you cook it, and can you figure out how to get it in there and get it all done, because it gets done faster than the rest of the butt without parting it out.
Well, you got a good point here, Donnie. You really do. And we've discussed this point many times between ourselves in 2009 and 2010, when we were so hot in pork. Believe it or not, we did not single out the money muscle, nor did we add slices to our boxes. All we ever put in was pulled and chopped. That's all we ever did. And in an effort to try to improve what I thought was an improvement, in an effort to probably get conditioned for some of the middle or Midwestern cooks that we were planning on doing, only then did I start adding sliced pork, more specifically the money muscle. And I'm quite confident that going forward from here, I'm going to go back to my roots and do what worked for me. I get tickled at these Midwestern boxes I see where they got sliced pork out there, and they got these big tubes, and they got your big plugs. I'm talking about inch and a half diameter. I'm not so sure that's really the right thing to do.
I don't like that piece of meat. The tube meat, I think, is, it's a real white piece of meat, but and it's deep enough in the butt. It's usually overcooked, and I don't think it looks good in the box. So that's just an opinion. There again, a lot of people do very well with it, but to me, it's just hard for me to put them in there.
I agree with you, and I've really never put in very large pieces that I've done. My basic box right now, even as late as this last weekend, we had what I call plugs, which is about the size of your thumb, and one portion of the box I put in slices this past weekend, and I pulled in pulled pork. I didn't do any chops this weekend, which was a mistake in North Carolina. Probably should have put some chops in there, but I didn't. And so, I bring all this up because I love opinions from people. One thing I'm not shy about is giving my opinion, but I love to hear opinions as well. And I expect to see a whole lot of changes for the Pig and Porkers barbecue team here in the future.
So you're going to Bentonville?
We are definitely going to Bentonville. Love to see you guys out there while we're out there.
I'll definitely make a point to get to your campsite.
Well, please do. And we can sit here and debate these boxes all day long.
That's right.
I think you and I are pretty much on the same wavelength there. But I'd love to see some guys in the Southeast do well out there. I argued a while ago with that on one of the online forums that the winning team will come from west of the Mississippi. And I can't help but to believe that. I'm not complaining. I just can't help to believe that. I think all too often that teams such as myself, who are so regional in my competitions, which is southeastern United States, when you get out there and you get into foreign territory, then you're really flying blind. And that's why one of the reasons I wanted to go to Bentonville, I originally said, no, I would not go to Bentonville if we did well in Chesapeake, Virginia, unless I'm in the top three. And I was fairly adamant about that. But then after we qualified, I just sat down and thought, okay, what's the financial sense in this? And I said, well, there isn't a financial sense because it's going to cost me $1,100 in gas in my motorhome just to get there, much less all the other expenses. And I got to thinking, well, that's a pretty darn good person. You never know. Lady luck may blow in your direction. Well, we know that's a slim chance. So we thought, well, that's still one consideration. But the other thing is we need to experience cooking out there. The only other time we've been out in that direction is we did the GAB a couple of years ago, and the best we could do was 44th brisket, which was pleasing, and that was 2008. But had it not been for Byron Chisholm coaching me a little bit, I guess perhaps we may not have done that well. But anyhow, with the combination of using butt rub and on the pork and the other things, that we've been able to do well ever since. So we shall see.
Every time I cross the Mississippi River, I take a butt whooping. So I'm on. My guns will be blazing as soon as I cross the river down there in Memphis.
And we may take a butt whipping this time, but that's okay. I'm going to go out there and have a good time and nothing else.
That's right. At least y'all are going to go out and get a butt whipping. So think about some of us sitting back here in Georgia or wherever, you know, didn't make it in. So, but I got to congratulate
you. Come out there and cook brisket with me. Just come on. Might as well.
Ain't got nothing else to do, right?
No, I know the time of the year we've got right now. Knowing your business as well as I do, yeah, you got plenty to do.
Yeah, that's why it's so tough for me to go out to World Food Championships, because it's just going to take so much time. And I'm like, well, if somebody get all my crap out there and set it up, I'll fly out there, I'll do it. But, you know, anything really, truthfully, anything short of that, it's going to be tough for me to make it out there. But I'm working on a couple sponsors to try to pull it off, but, you know, my fallback is Shelby, so that's not all bad. So, you know, I love doing that Shelby contest, and, you know, if I go out to World Food Championship, it's not going to make or break me.
No, but, it's not. And it's going to be fun for you. And no doubt it's going to be fun and be an experience for you. And Shelby's always waiting for you, and that's an excellent cook-off. I hope a lot of teams support that cook-off this year. It's just one of the better cook-offs on the circuit. If we can just get them to some better entertainment out there, it would be even better.
Okay. But we pretty much out of time, guys. And like I said, I want to congratulate y'all about moving on to Bentonville, Arkansas. And congratulate Donnie for this past weekend and Roger for the weekend before for making it through. You know, all you got to do is get in the top 10 and you keep it going. And I'm hoping y'all do very well out there. And I'll be rooting for both y'all and a couple other teams. And, you know, bring home some money. And, Donnie, I'm real glad you called in tonight and didn't think you'd do it, but, you know, we could talk for 2 hours on here, and I know you're a little apprehensive about how long we can talk, but I told you it doesn't take much to get the ball rolling, and it just keeps flowing. So I appreciate you calling in, buddy, and we'll see you up in Rome this weekend.
Yeah, sounds good. I'll look for you up there.
You got any shout-outs or any contests you want to talk about while you're on the air? Or?
Well, I think I hit them pretty well there. You know, the Mumfordville, Kentucky, great contest, pays a lot of money. Springfield, Kentucky, I think it's already full. But, you know, just sort of promote the home state there a little bit. And looking forward to going to Rome this weekend. I'm a Aaron Tippin fan and an air show fan, and you know, hopefully, you know, the barbecue will be all right. But this one's got some entertainment. I'm anxious to see.
So you gonna go for entertainment and maybe break out the barbecue, huh?
Yeah, I'll have to get my old 30-year-old homemade smoker going. That's for sure.
There you go. Well, I appreciate you calling in, and we'll see you up in Rome this weekend, and we'll get together and do a potluck dinner. And I know Roger's been part of several of them, and, you know, they're a lot of fun. Get to meet some new teams and stuff. That's what it's all about.
All right. You
be safe going to Rome this week, and I'll see you up there.
Okay, sounds good.
Right, thanks, Donnie.
Uh-huh, thank
you. Good talking with Donnie. See you, Jim.
Uh-huh,
all right,
bye.
Roger. Get on here, buddy. And like I said, good luck out there in Bentonville, Arkansas. That's going to conclude the show tonight from Killer Bee's Barbecue. If you haven't joined Barbecue Superstars, do so. Go online to barbecuesuperstars.com and join up, be a member. The money goes back towards the cook teams, and, you know, we have a really big time. I want to thank Daryl Mouse for giving me the opportunity to come on here. I also want to call out some of my sponsors, Fireside Outdoors Kitchens and Grills. Also, Phoenix Printing, it does all my print work and everything. Southern Q Smokers, who builds quality smokers at a reasonable price. And also, my big sponsor, you couldn't do it without Royal Oak Charcoal. And without their support, it'd really, really be tough for me to go out and do what I love. So if you get a chance, go out and get your bag of Royal Oak Charcoal and give it a shot. You will not be disappointed. So this is Jim Burke, Killer Bees, signing out. And all I can say is y'all have a good weekend queuing. We'll be in Rome, Georgia. We'll talk to you next week, same bat time, same bat channel.